Simply Abundant Intuitive Hour, The Journey of Attachment, a special series that takes a deep dive into the topic of insecure attachment and why you can't let go. Here's Tracy Crossley.
Greetings. How are you all doing today? Marvelous? Yeah? Cool. Like I have any idea, right? Uh-huh. Okay. So, today, on this wonderful journey of attachment, we are stopping off at the lasting after effects. Yeah. So, insecure attachment has so many ways that it shows up in our lives beyond being attached to somebody we don't want to be attached to. And a lot of times it can bring this thing called unhappy surprises, right? Which is the thing that most people who are avoidants have fear of, is unhappy surprises, and perhaps even surprises in general. We like to have a tight grip, control, don't surprise me, don't change anything, at least without my permission. I really need things to look the same, be the same, smell the same, taste the same, so on and so forth. So that's for most people who have attachment issues, because you have a safety issue. You don't really feel safe. And that's emotionally safe. And so there's always all of these contrived ways of keeping control that really don't give you control. So the funny thing is, with attachment, it's just not who the person is you're attached to when it comes to insecure attachment, but how it feeds into your negative beliefs, and it creates even more experiences for you to work through. Yeah, isn't that nifty? But usually, with anything that we do things based from our belief system, positive or negative. It's what we do. And often we don't know why. We haven't analyzed it, or we've analyzed it mentally, but we don't get it emotionally, because whoever told us to look at things from an emotional perspective? No one ever. And if they would have, that would have seemed crazy, because it would have seemed suicidal, because a lot of what we do is we try to stay alive. Alive and not necessarily happy, but alive. So on the road of self-discovery and awareness, you're going to stumble over things, right, as you grow. And negative beliefs and the experiences that stem from them because of what you tell yourself can make it where we can grow. And it doesn't have to be this, well, it still might be heart-wrenching, it still might be painful, but there's a greater purpose to your suffering, let's just say. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, got to go through this anyway, may as well get something from it. And that's if you don't want to keep revisiting the same bullshit over and over. So one of the things you'll stumble over, because you're stumbling around on the road of self-discovery, because I don't think it's a well-lit road. I think it's got potholes, and you tend to fall in them because you don't have good lighting. Yep, I think that's what it is. So anyways, when you've operated by the yo-yo situation, it's actually made a pretty big impact on you. For most people who have had the majority of their relationships be the yo-yo type, where it's a push-pull, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're on the push end or the pull end. You probably switch positions depending on the relationship, but they're basically relationships where you avoid emotional intimacy. And that does have a pretty big impact, because it's something where you're reflective in these relationships of earlier times, of earlier emotions, of somebody who was in or out of your life. Back and forth, not predictable, inconsistent, and it's reflective of where you are or where your partner is, or both. In other words, you play a different part of the push-pull depending on where you are emotionally, in terms of how fearful you are to feel your deeper emotions. And therefore, you might be the one who's pulling away, or you might be the one who's pushing or forcing things. It really depends. But it's a back and forth sort of ordeal, because emotionally, it may have looked like that when you were a kid, right? one of your parents was hot and cold. One of them was always cold. One of them was way overly hot. Just depends on what you picked up. I find most people I work with are sensitive types. A lot of them have a nice Teflon shell. And that's because when you are sensitive, you feel everything. You feel everything. And when you haven't had somebody raising you who has any kind of a concept that that's what you're about, they're going to misunderstand you, whether they want to or not. They probably don't have the self-awareness to go, hey, this kid has got a little extra something going on here and is probably perceiving things to be their fault or personalizing, and we're not going to understand that if we don't have self-awareness as a parent. So anyways, it just turns into this big clusterfuck, basically. You know, yay for another clusterfuck, right? So let's say you had somebody who's in and out of your life. It creates the problem if you're in a situation that is now not a person who's doing the yo-yo with you, but that you're in a relationship with, and you've recognized your responsibility in this past relationship or many past relationships where it's been a yo-yo thing. And so you're now in this healthy relationship because you've worked your ass off, you're open, you're learning how to be vulnerable, you are really or have made great strides. But as I like to say to people, if you haven't been in a healthy relationship, you're going to have all sorts of shit come up. It's just going to happen. You have lasting after effects from your conditioning, followed by the events that fit in as evidence while you were being, you know, of your conditioning. So whatever beliefs you came up with through your conditioning, and therefore you decided needed evidence as you've gotten older that they're true. And of course, these aren't positive beliefs, by the way. Over and over, you had to keep proving it without knowing that you were actually doing that. And so you land in this healthy relationship, and let's say the person you're with is consistent. You might still be a watchdog looking for inconsistency. You might make yourself a crazy person. You might not. It really depends. You might find certain things trigger you. You won't know why. You're thinking, what the fuck is wrong with me? Or maybe you're not. But most people who have experienced these relationships, and I'm not going to say, oh, it's post-traumatic stress syndrome. I saw that somewhere and I thought, well, I can see where having an extreme reaction takes you so far out of the moment you're in, but I wouldn't equate it as the same thing as when something really traumatic or tragic has happened. And perhaps it's happened to you, but when it's the case of a push-pull relationship, it's a little bit different. It's not that, but it can feel perhaps pretty extreme and painful to you. So what you bring forward is this part of you that needs to unlearn this whole yo-yo concept and to really understand that, hey, I may be with a consistent person and now it's my turn to also be consistent and not be the watchdog for inconsistency, not be creating a problem before there's a problem. Because the key is to turn around and say to yourself, look, at where you're in, or not even say to yourself, you don't have to have that conversation. You can just look by observing your life at where you're inconsistent and where you don't communicate, and then to step up and communicate. Hard for people to do that have been in these yo-yo situations, because the problem with the yo-yo situation is with no emotional intimacy means nobody's really doing truth-telling. Nobody's going to the deeper level. Nobody's really putting themselves in a position to be vulnerable because it's scary. If you feel something's off kilter, if you feel that there's inconsistency, you're really going to struggle to open up because you don't trust yourself, first of all, with what your next moves are going to be, let alone the person you would be opening up to. The key isn't really the other person, it's you, right? You've got to trust yourself to handle opening up and saying, okay, I can handle it no matter what this other person does. So you want to make sure that if you're in a healthy relationship at some point in the future, or if you are now, that you communicate and you really watch where you have inconsistency. Some of us have learned to play a game. Well, I'll show him or her, I'll ignore him or her, I'll wait to answer him or her, I'm going to make him or her really grovel because I don't like what they said. I don't like how they parted their hair. Whatever, you know, whatever, but we'll do that. And if you're going to do that in a healthy relationship, you're basically torturing somebody for no apparent reason. And if you're doing it in a dysfunctional relationship, you're still doing it for no apparent reason. You're playing a game. You think that if you care less or act like you care less or act like you're not interested at all, that you have control. And you might have some kind of control, but you don't really have control. The only reason people want to have control is because they feel out of control inside themselves. And so when you communicate, and you communicate from an honest, transparent place, what I have found is that people get all fucked up around that, by the way. Usually when I start working with people, they think communication means telling the other person what's wrong with them. It's not really true communication. That's complaining, that's whining, that's wanting someone else to change, that's wanting somebody to make you feel better because you can't make you feel better. It's not an outside job, it's an inside job. I swear to you, it's an inside job. You can have the world's best mate and you can still feel your feelings, and you may not like some of your feelings and they can't take that away, only you can. So when it comes to the communication, is to really understand that communication that's true isn't about complaining about the other person and what they're doing or not doing. It's about speaking for yourself and your own truth. It does take a while to get there. And what I was saying is, I've noticed this process with my clients where a lot of them don't know what the hell that means. And what they do is they start off by saying, when you do this, it makes me feel like that. When you say this, it makes me feel like that. So, okay, that's where some of you have to start. I get it, because you don't really know what speaking your truth is because you've never really done it. Who the hell taught you? I wasn't taught. I had to learn it. So it's cool. And the thing is, I do these podcasts because it's not about making you wrong or, oh, you're doing it the wrong way. It's to understand that it always comes back to you. And that's your only point of empowerment. You're not going to get empowered by other people. You may temporarily feel that, or if you feel like you're in control, you might temporarily feel like you got it all under control, but that comes with a really shitty feeling. And so that's not what true communication is. True communication is not about the other person. It's really about you and where you are with you. And you can talk about how a relationship impacts you, but it's still not the other person that's responsible. And so when you've had these inconsistent relationships, though, and whether you're in one still, it can be difficult to communicate truthfully because you want to shield yourself. Except you should, at this point, know that's impossible. I'm just giving you a newsflash. It's impossible. You can't protect yourself. You think you can, but you really don't. And you don't really get to experience life. You're totally cutting out your experience of life. And that sucks. Totally. So you want to be able to come from a place, especially if you're triggered or reacting, you know, there's a problem going on, and you want to do the best thing, and that is to communicate from that vulnerable place. It's always the best thing. So another instance of these wonderful lasting after effects from having these wonderful I know. It's not really wonderful. It sucks. I get it. Anyway, it's that when you have these after effects. So let's say you have somebody who, I think this is relatable. You can tell me if it is or not. But you have somebody tell you they're committed and they're in, and then their actions don't support it, or they totally disappear. You know what I'm talking about? It leaves an impression because as much as we want to say it wouldn't, it does, because we gave it meaning. Okay. And that is super important to know. What we gave meaning to. So if I gave meaning to somebody who said, yes, I will do that, or yes, I'm in, yes to whatever they're committing to, and then their actions are so opposite and don't support it, or they disappear, that can make you in another relationship where none of that is going on, sort of feel like you're reliving it, even though the other person isn't doing those things. It's that you're on edge, you're waiting for the shoe to drop, you're thinking, well, I've heard that before. And their actions and words may match. And you may go, wow, their actions and words match. How cool is that? And still feel that feeling that you felt in your yo-yo relationship as affecting you. And I'm sorry that it leaves an impression. I am. I mean, as a survival thing for your subconscious, all these lasting impressions are for survival. Great. But again, we don't have a saber-toothed tiger hanging outside our door, so we don't really need the same survival tools. And so our subconscious reminding us of a past situation when, let's say, we're feeling vulnerable in our healthy relationship and you're being reminded of an old feeling because, let's say, this person's been totally consistent and then they're late for dinner or something. I don't know. Or they, what, disappoint you in some way, shape, or form. I'm struggling for examples right now. I'm like, huh, an example. But anyways, they've done something. And it's not major, but it's enough to trigger you, to make you feel like you're back in that old place of inconsistency. And the key is to stop whatever it is you're doing and sit there and be uncomfortable with your uncomfortable fucked up feelings that seem to be sprouting from the past relationship until you can get, and I'm saying sit with those feelings, find them in your body, feel them, don't ignore them, feel them and let them dissipate enough so that you can get back into the present moment and get out of 1492. Because you need to be in this century, on this day, here. Okay? So you don't want to keep going flying to the past. You just have to have the awareness that certain things that happen in these relationships, because it took two to tango, so it wasn't just the person who you were with. Oh, wow, I didn't like how they showed up. I don't like what they did. I don't like how they were flaky, blah, blah, blah. But you had to look at where you were inconsistent too. And that's the thing most of us don't do. We look back at past relationships and we want to put a bunch of labels all over them, and yet we don't want to take responsibility half the time. And that doesn't help anybody. So I've had where somebody totally committed and they're in and they say that, and then their actions didn't, sort of, I think, supported it for 24 hours and then they disappeared. And that went right into my old abandonment issues at that time, where you just feel like you're out of control and you're going to lose your shit and you feel like somebody pulled the rug out from under you and you don't know why. That's like the worst feeling in the world. But a lot of people that are avoidant or unavailable, they think they can make the commitment and then they go and spend time with themselves and, you know, it could be an hour. Doesn't have to be long. And then they have all sorts of reasons and excuses as to why they can't commit to what they said they could commit to, or they just disappear. Oh, and then they show back up too, by the way. They don't just disappear forever. So then you feel like you're in some altered reality. So imagine bringing that forward. These things, and I'm going to be very honest. So a lot of those sort of activities, let's call those activities. They're not really activities because who's going to sign up for that class? I'm not. So those sort of activities, though, that happened where somebody abandoned you and then came back and forth and back and forth, and then you're in the present moment and you're with somebody who's not doing any of it, but at times it's really difficult to find that you're not affected from the past. Like, you will find you're affected, that it left an impression because as much as we want to say it wouldn't, it does, because in the past you gave it meaning. If you gave something meaning in the past, you can bet it's going to come up in the future. So even though you had that relationship, let's say you were single for a while, you dated other people, whatever, and then you're in this healthy relationship, the issue is that now being in this healthy relationship, it's an opportunity for something new. Like as a single person, let's say you got your shit together, you really opened up, you were more vulnerable, you really became empowered, but being in a relationship, it puts you in a position of being vulnerable, and that can bring up the things you haven't dealt with yet from these past relationships, which the good news is if you're in a healthy relationship, you should be able to move through things pretty quickly. That's the good news. And the other good news is you're healing more. If you stay single, you're only going to heal to a certain degree because you have to get those things triggered again so they come up to the surface, because sometimes you don't even know they're lurking beneath the surface. Sometimes we have no idea. Most people who come to me, they find out, wow, look at that. I got all that shit and I didn't even know it. Because how would you? Your subconscious has done a great job of taking over and everything has been masked because there's nothing triggering it in your day-to-day life until you are vulnerable again. And so if someone has said to you they're committed and you've given that meaning, because most people have, then you expect that decision to be abided by, right? You expect, hey, somebody committed to me, they're going to do it. And if that person you're attached to, this insecure attachment, doesn't follow through with it, then you're focused on them, which is what most people with attachment issues do. They're totally focused on the other person. And I have a lot of clients who are in these insecurely attached relationships. And one of the things that they'll do is they're like a fucking, I don't want to say detective. It's not even a detective. That's a whole other part of it. But it's like they are eagle eye. That's a new one. Okay, they're like an eagle eye. And they're watching everything their partner does. They're this insecurely attached person that they don't know what to do, because on the one hand, part of them wants to get the fuck out of this mess, and the other part is so stuck they can't get out, right? And meanwhile, they're looking at this partner and they're thinking, okay, my focus is totally on he or she, and I'm watching everything they do. And what happens is they'll start judging. Like, let's say the person doesn't want a relationship and has said, I don't want a relationship, but they're continuing to see you, you know, to date you, to have sex with you. Maybe they even spend more time with you. And what you do as an insecurely attached person is you're just eagle eye. You're watching them. Okay, they're doing this. It must mean that. Like, we're giving meaning to their actions, which don't match their words. I don't want a relationship. And then they're showing up at your doorstep every other day. And you're confused because you're putting meaning, going back to meaning, you're putting meaning on their actions and discounting their words because you're liking their actions. Oh, look, this looks like we're getting closer or something. And then their words were the opposite. Okay? Or vice versa. They're telling you, like I said, undying love or committed to you, and then they disappear. So both of those situations show how much of the focus is on the other person. And that means it's making an impact. It is creating meaning at that time, and you're going to carry it forward whether you want to or not. Because to have the amount of awareness that it takes to do that is extraordinary. Because, again, some things we don't know are lurking under there unless we're triggered. So it becomes kind of scary when you start dating someone and let's say they're consistent and you're really busy trying to figure out their patterns, and you're trying to go, okay, when are they going to fuck up? When's their true colors going to show? When are they going to take the mask off? I know that they're going to end up doing the same shit that's been done to me. And sure enough, they may not, but sure enough, you're going to drive yourself crazy. You're going to make yourself into a basket case because you're probably going to try and do things to trigger them, to get them to do what your old boyfriend or girlfriend did. Yeah. And then what if they get triggered by you trying to trigger them? And then now you have a drama. Yay for drama. Because then we can go back to hopefully a push-pull situation. But if you're with somebody who's truly healthy or wants to be healthy, it's not going to go down that road. It's probably going to stop right where you have transparent communication, hopefully, and then you work it out. But it just depends. The point is, you're having to take responsibility for all of this old shit you bring to the relationship as it happens, and be kind to yourself as it happens if you're being triggered and you don't know it. And all of a sudden you're living back in that last relationship. It's to really recognize it. It's not that you're doing something wrong or you're hurting yourself on purpose. It's that you want them to show up like that other person did. And it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't if you're in a healthy relationship. If you're an unhealthy one after unhealthy, oh, shit's going to look the same. And you can pretty much expect things to go a certain direction. Of course, your expectations are going to help to create that situation too. So I had a client at one point who had a boyfriend who would always send her a good night text. And this is supposedly a healthy relationship. And she had been through, I don't even know how many unhealthy, insecurely attached situations. And so he was at a party one night and he had sent her a text before the party, said, I'm going to the party. And it was something that he couldn't take her to because I think it was work related or something. I'm not even sure. She didn't sleep because she didn't get her goodnight text. And she thought he had disappeared, that he was gone, he was no longer interested. And so her attachment issues were out in full force. She was in a panic. She's having all this anxiety. She thinks she's been abandoned. That's what this stuff does, okay? And it's because we're already predisposed to it because of our background, right? So we've had drama. We've had these attachment issues in relationships. And so when there's not any drama, which in this case there really doesn't, or I'm sorry, there really isn't drama, we're going to create it because of what she did internally to herself. See, drama counts inside of you too. A lot of people discount what they put themselves through. They only look at the drama on the outside and what they might bring and involve someone else in. But a lot of times we don't look at the pain we cause ourselves. So she was bringing all this past shit into this relationship and creating this drama. And it doesn't have to be to the degree that you've had it in your attached relationships, but it's definitely there in terms of how you're perceiving things and how you're building a case against yourself and the other person. So she didn't hear from her boyfriend. And, you know, this is somebody where she didn't hear from him and she usually hears from him every 10 minutes or whatever. And he finally contacted her and gave her a wonderful reason as to why. And when she told him what she went through and, you know, said, look, I have to tell you what I went through. Not that he's the bad guy or he was wrong or he caused it, but she wanted him to know how fucked up she felt, you know, like where she would go with herself. Not that he needed to change his behavior, but he needed to be mindful of it, right? We need to be mindful of one another. I'm going to be mindful about things that might trigger somebody. Not that I can totally avoid them, but that I have to have a mindfulness that they're actually being triggered. It's like, oh, look, they're being triggered, right? And then I can be supportive instead of, a lot of times if someone's being triggered, we might be triggered in return. We might be reactive. But if we can just be mindful, then we're going to approach it from a kind, loving, compassionate place. So what we do, though, like let's say, you know, in her case, it all ended well, right? He explained what had happened and she basically said, look, this is my shit and I'm working on it. So let's say, though, you're used to hearing from your girlfriend every 10 minutes, like I was saying. So every 10 minutes, I don't know why I'm sticking with 10 minutes. I'm just going to use 10 minutes in all my stories today. So anyways, but every 10 minutes. And all of a sudden you didn't hear from your girlfriend for 3 hours. Something must be wrong. Perhaps she met someone new at the office. Perhaps she's decided she's not really in love with you and she wants to move on. all these assumptions start. Because, of course, it has to be through some loss of love or some loss of some sort that we start to panic into when we have insecure attachment. And it's really through the consistency of the relationship that it helps us, okay, in a healthy relationship, but also it helps us because we got to be willing to take our own baggage in hand. So these after effects from these fucked up relationships will come up, but you got to not be in resistance to them. If you're in resistance to them, then you're already having a problem. Then you're going to create a bigger drama. So if you don't have resistance, you say, oh, look, I'm feeling crazy or I'm feeling out of sorts because, of course, this happened to me in the past where this person probably moved on. They're not in love with me. There's a part of you that's still going to look for inconsistency in that roller coaster you used to ride. But it's the thing is that you can actually do something about it by not being in resistance. You know, oh, shit, I can't believe I'm feeling this way or I'm thinking this or whatever. That's not going to help you. It never helps you. I don't care where you are at, okay? Don't beat yourself up over it. Try to accept it. Accept that you feel all fucked up. Accept that things are not how you want them to be. Accept that you are bringing trauma and drama forward from the past and that it's a pattern. You're not doing it on purpose. You're not trying to be an asshole. You are just stuck in your own hell. And the minute you say, okay, this is where I am, you start to change things by just saying okay, because that means you're not resisting it. And that's a damn good thing because you don't want to resist it. All right? You want to ride the wild pony of your feelings and then you want to communicate. So snap out of the resistance, communicate with your partner if you're in a healthy situation. If you're in an unhealthy situation, you can still do these things and you should for your own well-being. Because when you start to act healthy in an unhealthy situation, it actually is a good thing. Because what you're doing is you're becoming a better partner to yourself. You're becoming more available. Because if I'm in an insecurely attached situation and I can be vulnerable, that's a lot of courage, folks, okay? Because protecting yourself doesn't work anyways. If you have anxiety 24/7, please explain to me how you're protecting yourself. What? Are you going to have a double dose of anxiety? I mean, how much more shit can you feel? You can only feel so much pain, right? So if vulnerability and transparent communication and feeling your feelings all help you to feel better, wouldn't you want to do that even if you're stuck in a fucked up situation? You do, because you're growing yourself so that if this relationship doesn't change and you realize you're totally disconnected at some point and you're done with it, that when you move on, you're going to move on to somebody who's healthy. And you still might have work to do. Of course you are. You're human. And what I'm talking about with these lasting after effects are probably going to come up. But that doesn't mean you're a bad person or you're broken or you're super, super fucked up. It doesn't mean anything like that. It just means that you were impacted because you already had a susceptibility based on your old belief system that you developed as a kid. So it's okay. I'm here to say it's all okay. It's up to you to actually change the inside, not the other person. You can have a mindful partner or not, but still change the inside. Your inside choices are always up to you. And when we're in the attached, insecurely attached relationships, we stay there because on some level, that roller coaster of drama works for us because we're looking to be invalidated by these people and turn around and be validated by them. And when you're in a healthy situation, there's always validation there. It's not the same kind of validation that you're looking for because for some reason with insecure attachment, well, I mean, obviously another reason, but in insecure attachment, we're always looking at that person who's invalidating us because it reminds us of somebody when we were little who invalidated us. So it's all this invalidation going on, right? And we're used to it. We're not used to anything that feels good on a regular basis. We don't know what that is. So when you're looking at you, it's to go, I'm okay. Even though I feel all fucked up, I'm still okay. Not I'm okay, I don't feel fucked up, but I feel fucked up and it's okay. And I can bring this forward and still be okay. As long as you keep doing what you can to accept yourself, feeling your feelings, and claiming transparent communication to the degree that you can do it, you're fucking doing awesome. Alrighty. Anyways, that's another wonderful installment of the wonderful journey of attachment. If you're looking for a discovery session, by the way, which is you're thinking about, you want to get coaching with me, I also have two other coaches who I've trained that work with me as well. Go ahead and shoot an email over to info@tracycrossley.com and tell us what you're looking for. And you can get a discovery session with me or with my two coaches or all three of us or whatever it is that works for you. But there's information on my website as well about all of this. And that is pretty much it. Okay, I wanted to mention the discovery sessions just because I know there's a lot of people out there that are trying to do this work on their own, and this is just a nifty, nifty way of getting some help so you're not out there in the ocean with a life preserver and nothing else. Alrighty, folks, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Questions about today's show? Reach out to Tracy at info@tracycrossley.com. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave a 5-star rating for the show so it can be heard by more people. For all things Tracy, check out tracycrossley.com.